The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Tyler Dunn here with Bob McGinn for one more Milwaukee Journal Sentinel JSOnline.com Packers podcast. Bob, gosh, we've been doing this, I believe, 3.5 years? 3 years at least.
It was your brainchild all the way.
It was, but it was a team effort all the way through, man. It's been a riot. Before we get sentimental, emotional, all of those things, we had to listen to a little Edmund Fitzgerald, right? I mean, if I've learned anything in this state, it's the history behind that song.
Mid-June on Edmund Fitzgerald, those winds of November, huh? They get them to come early.
The haunting lyrics, as you eloquently put way back when. And I was crucified for not knowing the history of that, so rightfully so.
Oh, yeah.
Crucified via email and Twitter and in person. But I know well now, and you know what? When that song comes on, when you hit shuffle and you're out for a little run outside, you let it ride. Maybe not Buddy Jewel and maybe not T.G. Shepherd, but we will let this song ride.
Ask those guys, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, but for those who don't know and are hearing this for the first time, I took a job at the Buffalo News to cover the Buffalo Bills. We'll be starting up July 1st. This is my final week here at the Journal Sentinel. From Western New York, Bob. Grew up reading the paper. All my family's out there. Brother, sister, brother-in-law, mom, dad, niece, nephew. Went to high school about an hour south of Buffalo. So, you know, it's just a good chance to return home and cover the Bills and try to take what I learned from you and Tom and wrote here and did here out there. So, you know what, though? I'm gonna probably miss this podcast as much as anything.
Wow.
At the heart of hearts, man. This has been a ride.
It's been fun, AT.
It has. It really has.
It was your brainchild way back in like 2012?
Yeah, I think before the 2012 season. That off season maybe is when we started doing it.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Adam Carolla's podcast. Big fan, man. He cracks me up every day. And, you know, we were just trying to think of something different to do. And thank God he embraced it. Man, I didn't know at first. I didn't know if you would want to do this thing, but
you dragged me along into the 21st century.
Dragged you into this podcast like you dragged Pat to concerts once in a while.
Yeah.
No, man, it's been so much fun. I mean, where do we start? I mean, yeah, it's, you know, the history of the podcast. We've done this what 3 years, and you know, just a couple of writers talking into a computer. But hopefully, people have liked it. You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess we don't have the numbers on how many people listen to this, but anecdotally, you know, running into people at the bar, Kyle Cousineau and Chris Duckett, all these guys, they love it. Nick V on The Bachelor. I don't know. Do you watch The Bachelorette?
No,
he's a big fan.
Too.
Nick V from Milwaukee. He's a fan of the podcast. So it's pretty cool that we got a following and people seem to enjoy it.
We really don't know how many.
Unfortunately, we don't.
No. So,
yeah.
It has not been marketed. We have no brand, Tyler.
No sponsors. No advertising. But hey, it's a grassroots. Is that what the term we're looking for?
I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll stay alive. And you know, I know out in Buffalo, I'll be doing a podcast with Vic Carucci. He'll be my beat partner on the Bills beat. And whoever replaces me here, we'll see if it continues on. But yeah, I can't thank everybody enough for listening. I mean, they're the reason we do it. I mean, all the emails and tweets and messages from people these past couple weeks asking if this is going to live on and thanking us for doing it. I mean, it's awesome. So, you know, thanks for listening on iTunes, on our website, MP3, however you take this in, man. We really appreciate it.
Tyler, you've done fantastic work.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know what you can say. Even in the last 5-6 weeks since Tom and I have been on holiday.
Holiday.
I guess we'll say, to use a British term, we've been on a holiday. How sweet it is and stress-free, baby. But every day you're doing something. I mean, there was all kinds of stories. That thing on neck injuries you just popped in. You covered the softball story. There's been so many stories. But, Tyler. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bob. Man, thanks for that.
Your work ethic, your talent has been kind of overwhelming here. I jotted down a few of the stories you've done. All right?
Well, thank you.
All right. Some of the epics. The Brett Favre story in July of, June maybe?
Probably last October during the season.
Well, I'm okay. Yeah. It kind of runs together, it does. Sorry for that. That was fantastic. The Miles White thing in training camp last summer. You talked to this guy a couple times a week. Mm-hmm. It was a tremendous story. The Eddie Lacy story when he came to town and you met him. And boy, I learned a lot about Eddie Lacy in that one. The Bart Starr story when you were down in Birmingham, right? Tremendous look at a Packer all-star. Forrest Gregg. You went out and met with Forrest Gregg, the old coach who I was when I was first on the full-time beat. That was great stuff. Craig Newsom. You went over to La Crosse over by Holman, Wisconsin. Never knew anything about Craig Newsom. You told me more in that story than I ever knew when covering the guy for 5 years.
Yeah, fighting those painkillers, man. That's a beast.
Alex Green. What was that story about? I remember that, though.
Yeah, he grew up with dyslexia. At one point was living in his car, I believe, in college. And, really interesting upbringing. I think that might have been the first story I wrote at the paper.
2011, really?
Right, yeah.
Okay. TJ Lang. TJ wasn't quite as settled as he is right now, was he?
Unbelievable. Yeah, that was early on, too, where he really opened up about how much partying he did in Green Bay. And I remember talking to a bartender who said TJ was just there to bar close and drinking all the leftover beers and not taking things seriously. And he had a child, buckled down, earned a contract extension. Pretty remarkable turnaround there.
It was a heck of a piece. That big long deal you did investigative on HGH, use of that in NFL and pro sports. Tremendous stuff.
Thank you.
The Mike Daniels story this winter. You went over to that workout place with Mike and watched him work out.
Yeah.
He's again, a beast. Learned an awful lot. Not only me, I'm sure all our listeners did. You did that story on Evan Dietrich Smith a while back with his brother and what makes that guy tick. That's what you did, Tyler, on and on, you got to the bottom of these players, you shared that with readers and listeners, incredible, you got your energy, your work ethic's amazing, your talent, so.
Hey, man, you know what?
It's a serious loss, everybody out there knows.
Man, I don't know what to say, Bob, that means a lot. God, I'm just so appreciative and gracious that, you guys hired me, you gave me a chance. These last 4 years have been some of the best times of my life. I, work ethic-wise and the job, I'm just trying to keep up with you. Everybody knows what Bob does. He's a legend for a reason here in Wisconsin. And I think that, people see the tape review. They see your connections with scouts, and they see that, but they have no idea the legwork and the hours you spend. I'm looking at your office right now over there. It is unreal the hours that this guy pours into the job, and I just try to keep up. I just try to keep up with you and Tom. What can we say about Tom Silverstein? Just an incredible guy to work with, and really more than anything, I know people want to hear us talk about the Packers and this team. They don't want to hear about us, I guess. But I got to say this, Bob. For people who don't know you as a person, unbelievable guy. In good times and bad, Bob McGinn out here has just been an unbelievable person. Competitive as heck on the beat, approaches the job at one speed. You try to keep up. We try to put out a good product. But as a guy, I can't thank you enough. It's been a pleasure, all mine,
believe me, Tyler. And whoever replaces you.
Think about the good times.
Tough task they will have.
They'll do fine. Oh, they'll do great.
I'm telling you.
But, man, real quick, we got to reminisce a little. Michigan-Utah game, that was right up there. Right?
I'm going to take it to the beginning. Hold on.
Okay, all right.
Start 2011, you got hired in July, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that first tilt, three of us were in the rental car going to Cleveland Stadium for an exhibition opener on the shores of Lake Erie.
That's right.
Remember we parked on that cinder parking lot, probably just west of that stadium? We got there early. I hate getting there early, but we did. I remember getting out of the car. Me, you, and Tom. Yep. And
I remember vividly.
I said, "You nervous?" You said, "Yeah." I said, "Tyler, 15 weeks from now, you'll be a veteran. You will. This night will be so different than what you're going to be thinking. You know, 15 games from now, 20 games from now." Well, I'll never forget that. You walked in there, and look at you now. Now you understand this league. You see all the obfuscation going on everywhere you turn, you know.
Solid word.
You are a real veteran.
Oh, God. Well, thanks. Yeah, I remember walking into there. It seems like it was just yesterday, doesn't it?
It really does. And then I remember eating at Kelly's Steakhouse in the shadows of San Diego Jack Murphy Stadium.
Kells came up big that night. We were just wandering around San Diego looking for a place to eat late at night.
And that Mission Bay Shopping Center, maybe somewhere around those parts. Yeah. I remember eating at Dickie's Barbecue at DFW, coming back on the red eye from Seattle.
Oh my God, that's
like 5:30 a.m. eating breakfast at a good old Dickie's. The Michigan Utah game. Weird. Row 7 in the end zone with the Ute fans.
That's right.
And then it rained a monsoon, thunder and lightning. They cleared the stadium. Mercy killing for the Wolverines.
Went back and we got you some dress shoes, right? We stopped somewhere. You forgot your shoes. What happened? They got lost?
It fell out of my bag. In United. They gave me a voucher.
A voucher for the dress shoes.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have been wearing drenched tennies.
That's right. Okay.
At Ford Field the next day. A lot of crazy events, eh, Tyler?
Let's see. My God.
What else have you done?
We went to an Asleep at the Wheel concert at the casino. That was fun.
We did. We also saw T.G. Shepherd.
We didn't see. You think you and Pat went there. You dragged Pat there.
Did you see Ray Price?
No, Ray Price.
Didn't you see some other country crooner out there with me?
I think it was just Asleep at the Wheel.
Okay, that's it. Huh?
I mean, great band.
Your dad loves them.
Oh, yeah. Huge fan.
Right.
Huge fan. He's been wanting me to play that on the podcast to lead into it. Sorry, Dad. I never got to it, I guess.
So let me say this. As much as JS, our illustrious sports editor, our terrific sports editor, Mike Davis, would hate to see you go, I mean, I think you're doing it. I think it's a great move for you. The pull of home, Tyler. You're a huge family guy. You got a great family. You got these nieces and nephews running around. Your brother's one of your best friends. You're going to be living with him in downtown. He works for the Sabres as a scout.
Right.
You'll be, you know, be living together. Buffalo News, it's always been a real solid paper. I know they have great plans. They recognize your talent. That's how I know they're smart news people, to see your talent. Vic Carucci's a terrific guy. He's done this forever. You'll learn from Vic. And Rex Ryan is just a good beat. And it's family, man.
Thank you. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, it's tough to kind of match it all up in any profession, really, to match up career and family and location and all that. So, you know, not that it was an easy decision, but I'm definitely very excited. Great staff there. Another great boss and Lisa Wilson. Like you mentioned, Mike Davis. I mean, what can I say about Mike? It's been awesome here. I love it. And it starts with the people listening to this, the readers, the fans. It's just a rare beat out here, man. It is a rare, rare job, a rare beat. I mean, people eat up everything you say, write, and I'll never forget it. So to everybody again, just incredibly grateful, and thank you so much for all the nice comments these last couple weeks. And thank you, Bob. Man, running down those stories. Holy cow, that's nice of you. Gosh, what do you want to talk about 13 minutes into this thing?
Well, like I said, I'm on holiday, so this is your show now. Let's get the depth chart out.
Do people want to hear about Aaron Rodgers, or do they want to hear about your golf game? How's the golf game?
Whenever I break 90, it's time for a parade. And I've been below that thing 3 times in the last 2 weeks, Ty. Yeah.
So have you thrown a parade?
Feeling pretty good. But then I'll hit that triple digit soon enough. I know it'll hit the old 101.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay.
So we got the – what have you been doing besides working your butt off?
Moving. That's a whole transition. Yeah. Right. Our rec basketball team, we lost in the playoffs first game. Tough loss. Lost by 2. What can you do?
That's brutal.
All right, well, let's talk about the Packers. We got to give the people a little bit what they want to hear. OTAs wrapped up, mini camp this week. Some players standing out. I think that one name that jumps out, Devontae Adams, not a shock. Second-year wide receiver. You've seen this with guys before him. I mean, you have before I've been here, too. I mean, the Greg Jennings of the world, the James Joneses. Jordy Nelson was more of a – took a year 3 jump. But really, as these guys are in the offense – the longer they're around Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre before him, they just get better and better. My God, you can see that at practice every day with Nelson kind of nursing that hip. He had hip surgery in the offseason. Rodgers is looking to Adams a ton. Said he's got a quote-unquote humongous upside, a potential star. I mean, Adams himself posted a video early in the offseason doing a 360 dunk that is tough for anybody in the NBA to pull off. So, I mean, when you kind of combine that size, athleticism, I mean, his route running, you saw it up close to it at training camp, so smooth in and out of his breaks. Combine that with a knowledge of what in the heck you're doing, and man, I think this is a player you buy stock in right now. Hmm. What do you think? What's your...
Well, it was a great rookie class of wide receivers, and he was okay last year, and, you know, I've only seen him one practice out there, so I don't know. I'm going to be eager to see him when the pads come on and games start being played.
You know, there were some pretty big moments, too, last year when the quarterback looked to him. You know, Miami, the fake spike. They're on the same page, and he's got the, you know, he knows what to do when he catches the ball. He doesn't go inside where the time could run out. Cortland Finnegan's trying to bait him inside, sticks to the sideline, gets yardage, gets out of bounds. The big game against New England, the big game against Dallas in the postseason where he kind of took Sterling Moore to task, just ate him alive. A lot of big moments now. It wasn't all good. And in the Seattle game, like a lot of players in that game, he had plays that he absolutely is going to regret. Early in the game, I don't know if a lot of people noticed this, but the third down on the one drive, and they had to settle for a field goal. Randall Cobb caught a little pass, you know, near the 1 or 2 yard line. He walks into the end zone if Devontae Adams just crashes down on Earl Thomas a little harder. You know, that's what they want him to do there. They want him to muck it up, get a body on Earl Thomas. Doesn't do it. Cobb's tackled, settle for a field goal. So, I mean, you're going to get those mistakes out of a rookie. There's a stretch when the ball wasn't really even thrown his way at all. But if you're looking for somebody in OTAs and that stood out, it's definitely him, I think.
Okay.
Beyond that, man, you know, Eddie Lacy looks pretty large again, which isn't a shock, but I don't think it really matters. I mean, it seems like every year he's asked about his conditioning and where he's at physically, and he's looking big, but that's probably what the Packers want. He'll run himself into shape and be Eddie Lacy. You know, the quarterback position behind Rodgers, Scott Tolzien's job to lose. He's the number two. I think Matt Blanchard actually looked better than Brett Hundley, the rookie.
The kid out of UCLA. From Whitewater.
Yeah, I meant the rookie Hundley. Yeah, Blanchard, yep. He had a couple nice throws yesterday on the money. I don't know if he'll be able to leapfrog him. I mean, Hundley was drafted for a reason. But elsewhere, the offensive line's pretty much set. Defensively, the number one storyline out of the spring into the training camp, Clay Matthews. I mean, they're going to move him around again. And I think that was what we didn't really know going into OTAs. I mean, are they just going to put him right back at outside linebacker? They pay him $13-plus million to harass quarterbacks. That's what he does best. But at the same time, I mean, the defense, a big reason that run D turned around. I mean, they were dead last the first half of the season. The top five run defense the second half was Matthews inside. You had the numbers on it after the year, what, about 26, 27% of the time?
Yeah, I think it was 28, yeah.
28% of the time?
At inside backer, yeah.
So that's going to continue. They made that very clear. He's been working at both spots, and now he has a chance to learn the position. And he's with Sam Barrington, so would you call that an upgrade over A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones, Bob? Two of your favorite players.
I think upgrade, huh? Yeah, I would say so. Just getting them off the field. I mean, I think I made that.
You've been pretty soft on AJ and Brad Jones on this podcast. You really beat around the bush.
I mean, that's huge. Just getting them off the field so they're not, you know, it's like playing with nine guys sometimes last year. They kind of both hit the wall. So Barrington.
Hawk gave them some good years for a while, though, right?
I'm just saying last year.
You're saying last year. Okay. Yeah,
he slipped last year. Some good years, some adequate years. That's not bad. Adequate's a 50-50 guy. I
good,
like adequate.
Is good too far? Good's.
I think I gave him a B- once. That was his highest grade, I'm pretty sure.
You never gave him a B?
No.
What about the Super Bowl season?
No.
He was pretty good that year.
Him and Bishop. He was a B-, I believe.
He was a B-. What was Bishop?
I think he got a solid B. There's a difference. You got to know your B minus and your B players.
Like my professors at Syracuse there. Okay. Well, yeah, they upgrade there then. Sam Barrington, they're really kind of grooming him to be the brains of the defense now. He hasn't come off the field. Whatever package they have out there, Barrington's on the field. They like him a lot. And he told me yesterday that just the chemistry that the entire defense has right now, he feels like they were just playing a game and that it's picked up where they left off. Interesting note, too, they've cut back on the number of plays defensively that they have, their playbook. Last year, players said they had a lot of plays and formations and different things they did that they never even used and, you know, kind of cluttered everybody's mind. And maybe that's a big reason they've started 1-2 each of the last three seasons. They're just thinking too much defensively and putting the quad package out there that failed miserably in Seattle. So less plays. I hope less is more. We'll see if that equates to a faster start. The big uglies up front, B.J. Raji, Dayton Jones, both talked at length about flexibility and that, you know, Raji really thinks that was a big reason that he tore that bicep tendon. He just wasn't flexible enough. So as we've talked about, I mean, they've been at Flow Yoga Studio in De Pere, Wisconsin, no affiliation with the team whatsoever, with Ryan Cunningham, the players just go over there in herds and work with her, work on their flexibility. Dayton Jones is another guy, says he missed five, maybe six sacks last season because he was too stiff, too tight, too wound, just wound too tight from lifting all those weights. So he's been working on his flexibility, doing a lot of yoga. They need a big year out of him in year three, right?
That would certainly help. Don't know if he's capable of it, but, I mean, they got three interior rushers, Daniels, Jones, and Ringo. And we'll see how Kyrie Thornton pans out. You talked to Kyrie.
I did, yeah.
How was Kyrie?
You know, he was pretty honest and said coming in, you know, in college at Southern Miss. Wait, is that the Conference USA?
Yeah.
That he could just kind of bully defenders and shove them around. Can't do that in the NFL. No. He had to get stronger. But, I mean, he just lost a season.
What did he suffer, a knee injury or a ham?
Hamstring.
How bad was this hammy anyway? I never even knew he got hurt.
That's a pretty big finale. Question. He was, safe to say he was on the bubble of making the team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he was a goner.
Who knows if they get anything out of him. Josh Boyd, he's been missing all of OTAs and minicamp. Wouldn't specify exactly what he's dealing with, but I believe it was a knee he had last year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was a knee, so he's been out. But, you know, McCarthy's had some just really high praise for this D-line as a group, similar to the O-line the year before. He thinks this could be his best defensive line he's had since he came as head coach in 06. And speaking of McCarthy, story wrote today, yeah. I mean, he's been spending a lot of time with the defense. I mean, we all know he gave up play calling duties to Tom Clements and, to some extent, Aaron Rodgers, you have to assume. Edgar Bennett's the offensive coordinator. So they're doing everything offensively. You know, McCarthy's still involved. You see him with the quarterbacks out there at practice. But behind the scenes, in the classroom, I mean, he's been meeting to meeting, position to position with the cornerbacks, with the linebackers, pointing out things through the quarterback's eyes, what the quarterback is thinking on a specific play, what every signal audible means that Aaron Rodgers is doing on tape. A lot of it, as Micah Hyde said, is universal, so it can help them against other quarterbacks. And the players couldn't say enough that, you know, it just really helps to have a different perspective in that room, that they love their defensive coaches, but I thought Demetri Goodson put it pretty well. You know, with defensive coaches, you're talking about the defensive assignments. It's defense, 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 what we're doing, not necessarily what the offense is thinking. McCarthy is providing that. We talked a little bit before we hit record on, you know, what other teams do this? What do other head coaches do this? I guess I don't really have that perspective. This is the only team I've covered exclusively. What do you think? I mean, is this something that Sean Payton and Jason Garrett and some of these other head coaches are doing?
Well, Payton's always been like McCarthy, an offensive guy, so he probably doesn't have the time. But let's just say a guy like John Fox, who's got coordinators, he's probably running around the building like McCarthy's doing now, you know?
Yeah.
All these guys who don't run an offense or don't run a defense, they got to go somewhere during the day, and I would think they'd probably pop in there and add their 2 cents worth in, you know? It's probably standard operating procedure.
And everybody always kind of scratches their head when the Packers changed their coaching staff around, and you know, Jerry Fontenot switching positions, Alex Van Pelt's coaching quarterbacks and receivers. They've really jumbled these guys around the last few years. Edgar Bennett, obviously, but that's what they want. I mean, they want coaches being around multiple players, and they've kind of taken that to a totally different level this year. I mean, he paired an offensive coach with a defensive coach, and so they had to put together a 50-minute presentation on something, presented to the team, gave out awards for first place, second place, and they just want the two sides of the ball interacting more than they have in the past. So, you know, we'll see if it pays off.
Right.
No one. What's the downside? You know, if McCarthy's doing all this, is there a downside that he's not around Rodgers and the
offense as much? Just how good he is as an offensive coach, and whether Clements and Bennett can do it without him there every minute of the day. That'd be it.
Yeah. So they're going to finish up minicamp this week, and they'll have about a month and a couple weeks off before training camp.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Brett Favre, he'll be coming back, getting inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame. But yeah, you know, sat down with the guy who replaced him last week, Aaron Rodgers. We did a one-on-one.
Yeah.
You read that. I mean, what did any of his comments stand out to you, Bob? I mean, what stood out with Rodgers in that conversation?
Tell you what, Tyler, you've written so much. I can hardly remember it. I'm going to fish it out here somewhere, wherever it is. But I don't know. What stood out to you? You did it. You were right across the table from him. How was he?
I think he really realizes, you know, we always talk about the Super Bowl window and how many opportunities, how many chances is this quarterback, is this team going to have at the Super Bowl? I mean, they were just one of about 15 different plays away from getting to another Super Bowl and couldn't get it done. So I think he really realizes that he is on the back half of his career, that these opportunities are few and far between. And that pursuit of a second Super Bowl is just really, really difficult. I mean, everything has to go right. Everything was going right for this team last year. I mean, injury-wise, incredibly healthy. He played through that calf strain, obviously, but overall, a healthy team. Couldn't get it done. I mean, I think he, you know, realizes that there's a sting there, and it's tough to get back to that point, and that he's just very cognizant of, you know, he's got a Super Bowl contending team, and your legacies are made in the playoffs. And, yeah, he's had all these great seasons, and he's happy about it, and he was efficient. He won a second MVP. But coming away from that, I mean, you really get the sense that this guy, I mean, he wants another Super Bowl. That all that other stuff sounds cliche, but he knows how hard it is to get back there.
Yeah. That definitely came through. He wants to be a player that can still use his legs and be mobile, right?
Right.
For many more years, and he's trying to work towards that. He's sampled different workout routines and regimens and personal trainers, I suppose, and all that kind of thing. So
maybe the most interesting comment, too, you know, with he hasn't talked a lot about Brett Favre over the years, and he's kind of been opening up a little more about that the past year or two. But just, you know, he talked about what Favre taught him, and they were the best of buds, as everybody knows. But you know, he said, yeah, I mean, everybody sees Brett Favre running around, making plays, throwing off his back foot, all of that. But he said the guy actually had incredible footwork, and that later in his career he could really match up his, you know, his 5 and 7 step drops with the routes and the route concepts, and really knew how that all blended together, and that his feet were actually incredible, and his fundamentals were actually incredible, which Brett Favre doesn't really get credit for. I mean, he kind of was running around, you know, gunslinging, as they say. And then I asked him, you know, looking back, how really difficult was it to play in his shadow? I mean, really, I mean, it's almost unprecedented in sports. I guess Steve Young taking over for Joe Montana, nothing else to this magnitude. And he said, look, I want to, quote, cast my own shadow. And he kind of has.
Darn right he has.
He matched Brett Favre's 1 Super Bowl. He's 1 MVP away from matching the 3 MVPs.
True.
And he's still kind of building that legacy.
Statistically, he's through the roof, and like nobody that's ever played the game before.
Yeah.
And we got to take this passer rating with a grain of salt because of how the game has changed and everything. But still, the numbers are numbers, and they're darn good. He can run for first downs. Yeah, he's a terrific player.
He said that, you know, he's always called a lot of his own plays, always been able to change plays at the line of scrimmage and had that freedom. He really wouldn't get into the fact that he might have more of that with Tom Clements as opposed to Mike McCarthy calling the shots, but it's no secret that him and Clements are really tight. You know, at one point he called him a father figure. And, you know, pretty funny talking about him. I said, hey, we don't really get to know Tom Clements that well. I mean, you've talked to him, too. He's got a stone-cold demeanor, not necessarily a fan of the media, and talking to us after games. But Roger says he kind of has that dry Bill Murray sense of humor behind the scenes, and that he could kind of be in a who's the director of those movies?
Wes Anderson movie,
like The Life Aquatic. That's yeah. Right. He's got that kind of sense of humor, and that he's really big on less is more. During the course of a game, he'll point out 2, 3, 4 things that he can just stick on his mind. Doesn't want to over-clutter him. Hmm. Just a really good relationship that maybe we don't talk enough about. I mean, that's been one of the most influential coaches in his career.
He's got Alex Van Pelt now as the individual position coach.
Right.
Van Pelt's a straight shooter, and I'm sure he's helped Aaron, too. He played the position. Clemens played in the CFL for 15 years, I believe, and Van Pelt hung around Buffalo for 9?
9 years, yeah.
Did you talk to Alex about Buffalo?
No, we didn't. Yeah. We talked to him, but there's didn't get to that. Yeah, I mean, you just nailed it to a straight shooter. I mean, that seems to be his biggest influence on Rodgers. He doesn't sugarcoat things.
No, he doesn't.
He's hard on him. Tough grader.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the way Aaron would want it, too, you know?
Right.
He's not looking to be patted on the back. He's looking to improve.
Right, right.
There's no question there. Anything else from your OTAs, Tyler?
Minicamp.
They got today off, Wednesday, right?
Team building event today. Team building.
That's good stuff.
Well, they've done dodgeball. They've done skeet shooting. What would you do? If you were Mike McCarthy, Bob, and you had a day off in Green Bay, I'm one of your players, what are we doing for fun?
Paintball.
Paintball?
They did that once.
Oh, they did that once. But what would
it
you
might
choose?
Have been Holmgren.
What would
know.
You want to do?
Golf. Go chop it up. No? Team building?
You know I'm not a golf.
Put them in carts? No. The Packers have gone bowling.
Bowling.
They've done that.
Could they go like kayaking down the Fox River? I don't know if you want to be in the Fox River. It's different kind of river there. What do we do? So before you know it, Bob, training camp will be around the corner. You can hear the mower outside right now. The smell of freshly cut grass. The smell of brats in the air, of fans tailgating at 7 a.m. drinking a Miller Lite in that parking lot. It's going to be here soon. So what are you looking forward to? I talked up a lot about this team. How about yourself? What are a few things that will be on your mind? I know you don't want to think about things quite yet, but...
Well, I can't wait for the shareholders meeting. That's a highlight of any training camp summer, isn't it?
Yeah, you go to that every year.
Oh, right? Yeah. Never miss it. Hear Ted's address and the various...
He gets very specific on the squad.
Committee chairman, chairperson, I guess it would be. That's always good stuff.
I was an intern out here when Favre was trying to come back the summer of 08. That was unbelievable. I mean, he like walked out into the atrium and there were just fans booing him, approaching him, coming up to him with petitions to bring back Brett Favre. Sir, sign this here, sir. And then they win the Super Bowl a few years later. Everybody's cheering him and he gets just a raucous ovation. So not quite the scene it used to be, but.
They used to have it, you know, before they had the stock sale, they only had maybe about 1,000 shareholders.
Yeah.
And they would hold a meeting at the Midway Motor Lodge.
1,000 shareholders.
Or 1,200, something like that.
What's it at about right now?
I don't know, 30,000? Just a guess that people who own us, maybe it's a lot more than that. Maybe it's 100,000. I don't know. I can't remember what happened to that. What was it, 2000, 2001, when they, 99, when
they did it again a couple years ago.
Yeah. Prior to that, it was at the WBAY building in downtown Green Bay.
Wow. Is that right?
Gathering of 300 or 400 people. I remember in 1986, Judge Perrin made his address. He was the president of the team at the Midway Motor Lodge, and I was there by proxy. Somebody signed his share over to me, so I attended. And the judge said that there were a lot of good things from that 1986 season. That was 4-12 under Forrest's direction rebuilding effort in his third year. And I remember a fan a shareholder. That's who it was. Bill Weiland from Ohio, I believe. He stood up and he challenged the judge. And he said, how can you say anything good went on in 1986? And the judge backed down a little bit and he said, no one's happy here. No one's happy about it, but there were some encouraging, you know. So those meetings were, they could be confrontational. They were extremely interesting, unlike the current event.
More than anything on this podcast, I think that's what I've loved the most is your stories from the 80s. And I'll never forget the one about Forrest Gregg out in Madison. What was he? What was that one? He was like practicing.
Oconomowoc at the polo fields.
Yeah.
Olympic polo grounds.
It's just unbelievable how your memory from the 80s when things weren't all rosy, when they weren't making the playoffs every year. I mean, it's just incredible perspective. All right, so what are you looking for in training camp then?
Special teams. See how Ron Zook, McCarthy, Jason Simmons, see how they handle that, you know? How practice time is allocated, if it looks any different. We'll be paying attention even more this year during special teams work. Tight end, see if any of those guys have improved. The rest of the offense is fairly static, you know.
It is.
Linebackers, we'll see how Barrington looks playing every down. See what they're doing with Clay Matthews. The outside backers, they'll take it easy with Peppers, I'm sure. The DBs, got to look at these rookies, how far they can advance. Two of them, how far Goodson can come. If this Ladarius Gunner, the rookie free agent from Miami, if he can fit and win a job.
Really interesting to hear Joe Witt talk about those young corners this week, by the way. Just on one hand, he said Casey Hayward and Sam Shields are over here. Everybody else is over there. You're not counting Micah Hyde, who just lived everything. He said, look, I have two guys who ever played a snap in the NFL, and that Rollins, Randall, Dimitri Goodson, that they have a long, long, long ways to go. He was pretty blunt about that. Again.
Jared Bush is not back, is he?
He's not? No.
He's not going to be back barring injury.
I mean, talked to him a couple weeks ago. He was hoping for a call. You know, gosh, you're like you said, the stories all kind of run together in your head. But yeah, he had surgery this off season. He says he's recovered. Was that a hernia, right?
Yeah.
Sports hernia.
Yeah.
He's recovered, and he had some interest. You know, he's contacted some teams, but still waiting. Not going to be here in Green Bay. They gave 24 to Quentin Rollins.
They have 11 corners on their roster right now. I don't know. The guy's work ethic was beyond compare. I've never really seen anything like it. All that post-practice stuff, that's all legit. He was really earnest and into that team every day of his life. That's going to be missed, I think. Maybe I'm an old fogey on that.
That was one of your best stories last summer. You know, you stuck around practice and watched him do all those wind sprints and everything on the field with the vest on, and he's just wired a little bit different than everybody else. And that they actually put his picture up in front of the team day one of training camp last year.
Really?
And said, yeah, Mike McCarthy did aspire to be this player, pro. They did it again the first day. This is what Jared Bush told me. The first day of individual workouts when they all come back in April, they put Bush up there again.
This
year when he wasn't even around and said, be like him. Yet at the same time, don't want him back. He came back and visited. It was kind of like a goodbye to everybody, basically. So, yeah, kind of sad. You know, one of those guys that he was a whipping boy for fans at various points. But
he was.
Also, he'll be kind of known for that interception in the Super Bowl, for the break up there against Atlanta. He had his moments.
They open at New England, defending Super Bowl champions. It's Thursday night, the first round of the PGA at Whistling Straits. I hope to get down there for at least a practice round this year. At Pittsburgh, another tough game, exhibition. Interesting game. I don't even know who they play at home. That's about it.
Preseason football or exhibition football?
I hope you carry the exhibition out as you shuffle off to Buffalo. And there was a song shuffling off to Buffalo in the 30s.
Okay.
Shuffling off.
I can't use the word preseason anymore.
You cannot, only in a quote, if someone says it. Exhibition.
That overly sanitized word.
You fight Vic on that if he's gone into that preseason trap.
Okay.
All right. That's my last advice.
What other words do you hate? I mean, we've talked about words that we hate on this.
Yes, we have. What's that word? Going forward or no? What do you say?
You hate that. Moving forward.
Yeah, moving forward. It's just.
We've talked a lot about stacking success.
Superfluous. Yeah, that's yours.
Hitting targets.
Hitting targets.
You got to hit those targets. In the draft, it's always the process. The reporters asking guys, what? Tell me about this process.
There's a lot of process.
A lot of process.
The draft, the team, the off season, the process. What else, Tyler? Now that we're on our pet peeves.
Do I have a pet peeve? Something I do that pisses you off? I show up late for these podcasts once in a while. That probably is a little irritating.
Yeah, but then I can finish that cereal and...
That's true.
Yeah. I know there's a couple others.
Yeah. I mean, you gave me so much praise earlier. I got to say something that
Tyler,
made you mad.
Draft and develop is getting to that point now.
Oh, it is. You know what? I'm guilty, too. I've written that a few times.
I mean, it's not bad, but it's getting to the point where it's got to be stopped.
Halted. Somebody's got to take a stand. Draft and develop. More of a draft and undeveloped guy myself. Draft a guy and then just
let him alone.
Leave him be. That's what other teams do. They don't develop the players they draft.
All right, Tyler. So on December 14th, we were out to Buffalo, weren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Where did we eat dinner on that Saturday night, that cool place?
Did we
get
dinner?
That was Tom and I.
Yeah, I was down with my family.
Yeah, I'm sorry. An Italian joint. It was a nice place.
Was
family
it?
Place. Typical Buffalo, yeah. It was awesome.
It's a great... I tell you what, Western New York is a lot like Wisconsin. It really is. The people... You know what I love about living out here was go to a bar, you're going to run into 2-3 people you know, and if you don't know anybody there, they're going to be your friend in 15, 20 minutes. I mean, it's just been unbelievable. The friends that I've made here in town, the friends in media... I mean, Bob, I can't say enough about you. You've just been such a mentor, somebody to look up to work-wise, but beyond that, just a great friend. And we don't want to get all teared up here, but I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you, bud.
Good friend, no doubt about that. So, Tyler, we're going to Buffalo. Come on now, let's talk about a Bills training camp.
Yeah.
Under first-year coach Rex Ryan. You'll be immersed in that. The Bills looked pretty good against the Pack, didn't they, December 14th?
Boy, yeah, I mean, the defense is pretty loaded. I mean, especially that front seven. My gosh, I mean, everywhere you look. But they took some gambles this offseason, paying LeSean McCoy a lot of money. You don't see that a lot at running back. Quarterback, I mean, that's been the issue with Buffalo. I mean, since I was a third grader, fourth, fifth grader in Western New York myself. I mean, they've...
Yeah.
Since Jim Kelly left, I mean, it's been Todd Collins, Doug Flutie, Rob Johnson.
Alex Van Pelt.
Alex Van Pelt, who's actually been a rare bright spot. He had his moments in Buffalo. I mentioned Rob Johnson, Drew Bledsoe, J.P. Lausman, Kelly Holcomb. And now they draft E.J. Manuel probably 3 rounds before he should have been drafted. Matt Castle, they signed him. Doesn't sound like he's had a good spring. They like Tyrod Taylor a lot. They signed him, so... It always comes down to the quarterback with this team, and they have a ton of talent around the quarterback. So it's going to be different. You go from Aaron Rodgers to the Castle, Manuel, Taylor carousel this summer.
That's the way it was my first 8 years on the beat, Tyler. You
That's
know,
right.
Until the Brett Favre trade. That's all. You really think about that every day.
Yeah.
And you're writing about that 50% of the days. You will be studying those QBs.
That's right. You had a few of those. Blair, Keel, and... Mikowski and
Dilwig,
Ken O'Brien,
Tomczak, Fucina, on and it goes. All right, the Bills, who they draft? I can't really remember.
Ronald Darby, Florida State cornerback. Okay. They didn't have a first-round pick when they moved up for Sammy Watkins the year before.
Yeah, that's right.
So Jordan Miller, the guard, and they expect him to start, you know, right away. It sounds like so. Yeah, looking forward to it. I mean, it'll be a new challenge. Great people, great town, and then you mentioned the family factor. That's big. Really looking forward to seeing the niece and nephew out there. All right, let's get to some questions, and then we'll sign off for one final time. What do you think? Oh, look at this. From Slappy White. It's like he read our minds, Bob.
He
wanted the wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald in its entirety.
Well, Slappy.
Slappy, we'll give you the song in its entirety when we sign off.
Well, we'll get in trouble, won't we?
you know, we don't have advertisements. We're not making money off this thing.
Nobody's coming after us.
No, they won't. And if they do, nah, they won't. All right. Richard Miller asks, is there life in July with no Packer coverage? There'll be Packer coverage. They're retiring the number four of Brett Favre, the Packers Hall of Fame. There'll be boots on the ground for that. I won't be here, but there'll be people all over that. And we'll have stories. Oh, look at this beautiful comment from Dan Coob.
What's Danny say?
He filled in for you for a couple times.
He was one of the sub-hosts.
He was.
And he did a fine job, Danny.
He did. And, yeah, probably one of my best friends here in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Incredible man in TV for those who watch NBC 26. Nice comment here, too, Dan. Quote, I'd like to know how it makes you feel to stab Northeast Wisconsin in the back. Well, you know what, Dan? I don't know what to say. That's great comment. Great comment. Great comment.
Stabbing him.
JP Kadorin. JP at Time Warner Cable also does an incredible job. Says, since you asked, quote, I changed my mind. I'm staying. You know, I've done that before.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
But you're not doing it this time.
I'm not doing it this time, Bob. I'm sorry.
Got it.
Right. All right. Josh asks, I want to hear you cry when you say goodbye to Bob.
I'm going to cry.
Wait, hey, when is the last time that we cried?
A good cry?
Just a good cry.
I don't have it. I don't know.
Bob McGinn doesn't cry?
Well, yeah. But I can't really recall the last one. Or maybe I don't want to recall it.
How about, all right, well, here's a key guy-to-guy question.
Yes, sir.
Did you cry during Rudy? The movie Rudy?
I never saw Rudy.
You never saw Rudy?
I am not a big Irish fan.
But it doesn't, yeah, I'm not an Irish, who cares? It's,
yeah, I never saw it.
Oh, man, it's one of the best movies ever. I cried. I cried at the end. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And they're chanting Rudy at the end? Hell yeah.
Do any songs ever make you cry?
Songs?
No.
I hear you get emotional on a song or two.
That's true.
We played one of them on here.
We did one time.
Should we say which one, or do we leave that?
Maybe we'll leave that one alone.
Was it by Meek Mill, Kanye West? Those rap lyrics just...
No, and it wasn't Sleater Kinney.
It wasn't Sleater Kinney. I know which one it is, but... Did you get teared up?
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes even when I'm in the car and I hear
it just evokes one or two songs out of
millions. Yeah, weird. I hope I'm not alone in this. It's a lonely
I'm sure some people do.
What else we got?
David Davis, thanks for the nice note. Says he look forward to hearing it. Truly going to miss you. Kevin Cushing, I'd like to hear Minus the Bear on your last podcast. You will be missed, Ty. Sorry, I'm just seeing this. Not sure who that is. Noah Kozlov, I want to hear you two sing. Bob, why don't you give us a singing number?
Nothing. I am tone deaf. Can you carry a tune? I can't.
Well, there might have been a karaoke done at Mikey's Pub in Green Bay at one point, but that's about the extent of
it. Mikey's Pub?
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
Okay, where's that?
It's in downtown Green Bay. Okay. Me and Dan Goob earlier, we've got a song.
Mikey's.
We're
not getting into that, though?
No, we're not going to get into that.
All right.
And you know what? I think that's going to do it on the questions.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Ryan Rodig has one more.
What's Rye got?
I'd like to know how you plan to make it up to all the people you're letting down by robbing us of your presence. Thanks, Ryan. All right, guys. That's going to do it. For one final time, a little Edmund Fitzgerald. Bob, put her there.
Let's close it off,
It's been a lot of fun, man.
It's been more fun for me.
God,
the pleasure's all mine,
partner. Much from you. You're just a great reporter, great writer, but even better person.
What a career you have in front of you, young man.
Well, hey, thanks a lot.
Yep.
And thank you guys for listening to this. And by God, it's been a lot of fun. So. Hopefully you'll keep tuning in. Thank you.
When the skies of November turn gloomy, with a load of iron ore 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty, that good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and a captain well seasoned, concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night, when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling?